Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. My dictionary defines the word blasphemy as, quote, the act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things, end quote. Okay, but who determines what's sacred? And more to the point, who determines what is God? Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is with us today to shed some much-needed light on this subject. Lincoln, the time is yours.
Yeah, well, I need to make good and sure I don't blaspheme,
no.
Which is a hard thing to pin down nowadays.
Yes.
And if you've had a house built or listened to a backyard carpenter at work when he hits his thumb, you probably know that there's a lot of casual blasphemy in our society.
Yes,
or, for that matter, watch any Hollywood movie.
Oh.
There's a very unrestrained language that's most unfortunate on every level, not least of which it lowers the tone of civilization. Mm. But we should realize that in this day and age, there are some countries, and I want to talk in particular about Pakistan, where through a well-thought-out legal system, they have strong laws against blasphemy, and the penalty in Pakistan is death if you're convicted of blasphemy. Many of our listeners may have heard recently on the national news, there was quite a bit of discussion and exultation and happiness that a woman named Asia Bibi, it's not really her true name, her name was Asia Noreen, but I think Bibi was her nickname, since 2010 has been in prison awaiting execution after a high court validation of her conviction for blasphemy. But just think about it for a minute. Since 2010, that's eight years.
8 years for saying something.
Even if declared innocent, she's had 8 years of imprisonment. And if we have time, I can explain that it's a little bit more than just imprisonment. But let's talk about what she did.
Yeah.
She's a simple village woman in the countryside of Pakistan. And as a Christian in a overwhelmingly Muslim country, she's basically equivalent to an untouchable in the old Hindu caste system. I mean, they're Muslims there, but they've inherited the societal attitudes of India, which Pakistan separated from around 1949-50. And so they understand the caste. So Christians are just lower than low. And this poor country woman was out with a bunch of the peasant women in the countryside, and they would tell her what to do because she's lowest on the pole. And they were herding goats, I think it was. And someone said, go and get some water. Asia, go and get water for us. So she goes to the well, gets some water, and then she sees a cup or a container, basically a tin cup, next to the well, and she takes a drink. And when they saw that, the neighbor women went ballistic. And one of them yelled out at her, you're a Christian, you're unclean. Don't you dare drink at a cup that a Muslim has drunk from. And she said, I believe in my religion and in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of mankind. What did your prophet Muhammad ever do to save mankind? Mm. And why should it be me that converts instead of you?
Well.
Because they demand that she convert. I mean, that's a reasonable witness.
Yes, yes.
That could go in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And of course, she's, in the eyes of a Muslim, diminishing their prophet. She's challenging their prophet. But that's what religious dialogue has to involve. That's not in itself a direct insult. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
But it was reported to the local imam. And as Asia herself said, there was an element of jealousy. One of the women that accused her had had some financial differences with her and had a score to settle. But it may not have even required that. But like many situations, there's a human element, you know, on a secular level as well.
Yeah.
But once that was reported to the imam, then he went to the authorities before the police came. The imam incited a mob, which came to her house, beat her and her family, and then she was taken away by the police. And the police were immediately suspicious, so they spoke to the imam, who repeated his charge. one of the policemen claimed that Noreen said the Quran is fake and your prophet remained in bed for 1 month before his death because he had worms in his ears and mouth. That sounds like something that they made up to make it sound even worse. But we need to keep it clear. So what?
Yeah.
If you have religious freedom, someone has a right, just as all free speech, to say something quite insulting.
Yes. Which happens all the time in your backyard with the workmen and on television. People are talking about our God that way.
But I don't think, given that's how she responded at first, and that she's a simple woman who probably doesn't even know enough to make up such things that were a pickup on the history of Islam. I don't think she knew that much. Yeah. So then the police beat her up and took her into the court. The judges, I'm quite sure, were nervous about this and would have liked to have let her off. But the community were baying for her blood.
Yeah, we've heard about that before. Yeah.
So they convicted her, put her in jail, and then as foreign groups, church and civil rights groups interceded, any time it looked like she might get out, the community would go bananas. One of the imams even offered an equivalent amount of about $3,000 for someone to kill her.
Oh.
They're threatening the judges. And it's very interesting to realize, and we've had this in Liberty magazine before, the local provincial governor was very supportive of her, visited her in jail. The minister of religious affairs for the region, he came and visited. And for their support, both of them were assassinated.
Oh.
So this is a huge incident. And after all these years, suddenly, the court, I don't know that they declared her innocent, but they released her, and immediately the communities, the imams, started calling for her murder and daring anybody to act on this to get rid of her. She was not worthy to be alive. The game has gotten so bad that it's not clear at this point if she's in the country or not. Mm-hmm. If she's left the country, the wrath of the mob and of these particular religious leaders will be against the judiciary, and judges may be assassinated.
Yes.
If they find out she's in the country, then they'll try to hunt her down and kill her. Phenomenal.
Don't these people have anything better to do, Lincoln? Come on.
Well, sometimes no.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, it's true. When people's lives are very desperate, they're uneducated, and well, they're working hard, as this whole thing began. They're plodding along with cattle and at the waterhole and that. They're talking, and this is the preoccupation they have. And then when they go to Friday prayers, the imams, again, not always well-educated, very prejudiced, very narrow-minded and exclusionary on anything but their own religion, then they can fire these people up with not much else going in their minds. Absolutely. They're not getting a lot of news from outside. They're not hearing much beyond Islam. They're easily incited, and hate is flowing right, left, and center. Mm-hmm. But all because of a law against cursing and despising religion. On that level, I think we all need to be careful. Blasphemy is not admirable. No religion looks kindly on others or their own proponents who curse the gods.
Yeah,
basically, it's one way to put it.
Yeah.
That shows a very poor attitude to life and deeper things in general. But I don't believe any civil government that has any pretense of looking out for all of its citizens has any right or need to pass laws restricting and penalizing how you talk about sacred and holy things and religious things.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, I like to go to the life of Christ. He was often called names and lied about and whatnot, but he just never responded in that violent way. He didn't have that kind of hate. And the secret, of course, was that he was in love with the people who were saying those things to him. He was in love with all people. And, you know, those who take the name of the Lord in vain these days here in this country, God still loves you. But I'm saying there's another thing going here. If we're going to fight against blasphemy, we need to not be part of blasphemy. Am I right saying that?
Right. As far as, you know, I think it's just some other country, some over there crazy country. It's worth remembering that in the early days of settlement in this continent,
this is true, yes.
The Puritans did the same thing.
Yeah, the same thing.
It's not the only evidence, but the Salem witch trials, read that sometime. That's quite horrendous, which is what it amounted to. And directly for blasphemy, they did punish people regularly. But I don't think we should ever go back to that sort of thing. We may, but I hope not. I think we need to see the futility of this sort of law. Mm-hmm. That's really what I wanted to bring out earlier.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm not a psychologist, but on one level at least, such a rabid, violent reaction, rather than showing strength and security in faith, shows an insecurity, in my view.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
I mean, yes, I'm heartbroken if somebody maligns my Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But my faith is not threatened by someone else's fulminations.
Yeah.
If I've got a valid faith, that's not going to question it.
Yeah.
So I really think there's a certain insecurity at the root of not just Islam, but Islam in particular, these countries where they pass such laws. If they have a good faith, as some of the framers of the Constitution said, it can stand on its own.
Yes.
It doesn't need the support of law. And the U.S. experiment is showing that. Neutrality or an enabling environment created by a free society has done much more for religion than anti-blasphemy laws or Sunday or Friday worship.
Yeah.
Those sort of things rankle with people.
You know, I can't help but think that we need to be so in love with the God that we worship, with the Jesus that we worship, that we would never, ever think about using his name in vain. But also, because of that love that he's given us, we will be accepting of those who do. Am I on the right track, Lincoln?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm, yeah.
We can't accept blasphemy per se. I mean, it's offensive.
Right.
But I don't think Christians or Buddhists or Muslims, if they take the higher aspects of the Quran, are called to be the angels of vengeance. We should be reaching out to others, ideally, to tell them the truth we have, and it'd be great if they could see things our way. If not, we continue to pray for them and to interact with them as fellow creatures. You know, one thing that's certain, I think, with a few exceptions, any faith group recognizes that other humans are the creatures of the same God.
Yes, yes.
You know, the Great Spirit, the giant turtle, or Allah, or Jesus. They're all the origin of our being. You know, the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
And when you sense that commonality, you know, what profit is it to go sailing off violently, if even, against people that see it differently? All it means is they need to be given a chance to truly understand God and his ways.
Very, very well put. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, thank you so much for your thoughts today. Appreciate it.
Well, I hope we've got people thinking.
I think we have, absolutely. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.